Esto.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
Look,
no excuses.
Good morning and welcome to No Excuses. This is Fitz and this is Vaughan Radio, Radio Baugan. And today is the day before, as you would say here in Spain, Reyes, which is called the Feast of the Epiphany. Good morning, Helen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you know what day tomorrow is in Cork City, where I'm from?
What day? What is it?
It's Women's Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is a big tradition, specifically in the city of Cork, a little bit in the county, but it's very, very specific to Cork.
Today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Sometimes we call it Little Christmas. Little Christmas, Women's Christmas, and sometimes people mistake of calling it Little Women's Christmas, but it's one or the other
different.
One. Yeah. And I'm not sure where the tradition comes from, but it's a day on which the men are supposed to cook because, you know, there was a time when men didn't cook and clean the house, and the women go out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in, especially because tomorrow is Friday, if you're in Cork tomorrow, you'll see it'll be a big day out for the Cork ladies,
yeah.
Like grandmothers, mothers, you know, and it'll be probably a wild night.
Right.
And of course, in the Christian calendar, it's very important. But of course, what's specific to Spain at Christmas time is tomorrow is the biggest Christmas holiday of all of the days in Spain, right?
I guess so. That and Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, yeah. As well, okay.
I think it's the Epiphanies, isn't it?
Tomorrow's the Epiphany, yes. Epiphany. Yeah, the 6th of January.
It's a big one in Spain.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
And when
Especially for kids. It's a kid's favourite.
Because the tradition here, of course, is that the Reyes bring the gifts,
mm-hmm.
and that's not Santa Claus, although I think now maybe kids are getting a bit of both, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you were a child, did you have a favourite king?
I did.
Which one was yours?
The one in the middle, Gaspar.
Gaspar.
Yeah.
And why?
Yeah.
You just liked him?
I don't know. Yeah. It's like, why do you pick a football team?
Yeah, yeah. Something appeals to you when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it stays.
Yeah. And I remember the first year that I was here, when I went to the Cabalgata, which I suppose you would say the procession.
The parade? Or?
And I said, wow, this is amazing. And people bring ladders.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say ladders in Spanish?
Escaleras. De mano.
And then they would bring umbrellas, turn them upside down to catch the sweets.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, what?
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah, so it's this is one of the fascinating things about coming to live in another country as a foreigner. What Spanish people take for granted as the traditions are fascinating for us.
I guess we do take them for granted,
yeah.
Because you're in them.
So you come here and you think, wow, this is amazing. I know when I came here first, there weren't really Christmas lights like there are now.
Mm-hmm.
I know they put them up in October, November.
Mm.
There's a big controversy in Ireland and in Britain now because just in the last couple of days, Easter eggs already are appearing in the supermarket shelves, which is...
Easter eggs.
It's 4 months away, you know? And of course,
They'll go off.
Well, kids are going to go to the supermarket and go, oh, I want them. So
that's why they do.
Come on.
And Roscón, you know Roscón?
Roscón, yeah. I don't know how we'd say this we have something which is not quite similar, but the idea is similar, that we have at Halloween,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, which is originally an Irish festival. We call it Barm Brac. It's a bit like panettone, but denser. Mm-hmm. And in it, when we were kids, you would have it on after your dinner, your evening meal on mm-hmm. Halloween. And my mother would slice it up, and in it were various things, like
mm-hmm.
there was a gold ring.
A gold ring? A real gold
ring?
Well,
no, fake. Oh. And it's brass. How do you say brass?
Laton.
Okay.
Laton. Mm.
And if you got that, you were going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little piece of cloth, which meant you were going to be poor. There was either a bit like the Roscon, a pea or a bean, mm-hmm. which meant you were going to be rich. Mm-hmm. And then a tiny stick, which meant someone was going to beat you, hurt you physically. And oh here you have a king.
Yeah.
You have a bean for money, right?
I'm not sure what the bean is for, but I think if you get one of them, you have to pay for it the following year.
For the Roscon. Okay. And what else do you have in there? How many other things?
As far as I know, those two things. A bean.
Is there a cat? Is there a cat in there or an animal?
Maybe. I remember there being a king.
A king. Okay.
But I'm not sure. Now that you mentioned the cat, there might have been.
Okay. No. And do you like Roscon?
I'm not a big fan of Roscon. I find it maybe in the old days it was a very special thing to eat, but I find it a bit dry.
Dry.
Even with the filling.
Yeah, there's the debate. Cono sinnata, with or without cream?
Without. If you're going to do it.
And then people usually eat it while drinking chocolate, right?
Hot chocolate, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, when I came here and I saw this for the first time, I said, wow. And there's another, so for the first time, just last year, 2022, a Roscon for Almudena or somebody, and somebody said, no, this is fake. This is not a tradition.
No, yeah. But the thing, they do with Easter eggs in Ireland.
Yeah.
They keep, start selling Roscon earlier this year.
Yeah.
So you have that, we have that problem too.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And it's a pity to see this. And in English also, the three kings are known as the Magi, not Reyes Magos.
Magi, okay.
So there's a famous painting in the Prado by Peter Paul Rubens, The Adoration of the Magi. Mm-hmm. And of course, and I think it's, you know, even if you're not a
religious.
I remember as a child being really fascinated by the fact that three kings came to see the Christ child. And they came from very far away. You know, mm-hmm. one of them is black. Mm-hmm. And they're probably some like Arabian princes are kings, and they follow the star, and mm-hmm. they came on camels. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we were kids, we have what Americans call a nativity scene. We call it a crib, mm-hmm. which we say Belén, right?
Belén, Portal de Belén.
So my mother would be very careful about waiting until the sixth of January mm-hmm. before putting the kings into the crib. Yeah,
I remember doing that too. Or you bring them closer and closer.
As they go by. As they're traveling.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think it's a beautiful story. So again,
yeah.
You know, the whole story of, and also another beautiful story, which we did it at school, in primary school when we were kids, was the journey of that Joseph went to Bethlehem because he had to register himself. This was a law that was enacted, mm-hmm. even though he lived in Nazareth. Mm-hmm. So he went there, his wife was pregnant, they went on a donkey, mm-hmm. they were poor people. And the rule of three, it was always three things in every story that you can think of.
Yeah.
They went to three different inns. Mm-hmm. I think inn maybe is like taberna.
Taberna, posada.
Posada, sorry, mm-hmm. posada, yeah. And they got turned away from two of them, but the last one said, okay, you can sleep in the stable. Mm-hmm. How do you say stable?
Establo.
Yeah. And then the manger, which is a word we don't use
pesebre,
anymore.
Pesebre.
Pesebre. Mm-hmm. Pesebre. All right. So he was born in a manger, and he was that beautiful hymn, Away in a Manger. And these stories, of course, they're beautiful stories. Mm. Whether you're religious or not, they're beautiful stories.
And they used to, they're called the three king, the three wise men.
The three wise men in English also, yeah. How do you say that in Spanish maybe, too?
No, you don't say just Los Reyes Magos.
Okay, yeah, so we say the three wise men. Actually, that's probably the term we use the most. Hmm. The three wise men.
So they might have been kings, but also with a wisdom or a magic sight to them.
Yeah, and that they saw the star and they followed the star. Hmm. Yeah, so it's as a child, I was totally fascinated by this story. Hmm. And then I came to Spain and I realized, wow, it's a much bigger deal in Spain than in other places. Like I said, in Cork City, it's women's Christmas.
Mm, I like Little Women's Christmas.
Little Women's Christmas, yeah. And I'm not sure where it comes from. Now, Cork is a city because it's a port city. We have, we've always had like a lot of port cities, you know, people from different countries coming to live there. Like there were, Dutch, so mm-hmm. you lived in Holland for mm-hmm. a long time. Dutch merchants, came to Cork in the 16th century. Italian merchants.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a part of the city that's called Tivoli, which of course is a city in Italy because that's where that's where they came from. And we, at Christmas time, we eat a type of meat which is very similar to pastrami, which is an Italian meat that's very common in New York, for example. We call it spiced beef.
Mm-hmm.
We eat that on Christmas Eve, very possibly because of this interference of these people. Now I'm reading here. 7 things to do in Cork for women's little Christmas, mm-hmm. right? Now, one of them mentions ABBA. Irish people love ABBA, right?
Excuse
Have you ever seen a TV series called Derry Girls?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So Derry Girls is, Derry is a city in Northern Ireland. Catholics call it Derry. Protestants call it Londonderry.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was brought up, I was, you know, my father, no. It's Derry, right?
Mm.
Which means an oak wood. And of course it's in Northern Ireland and it's the second biggest city in Northern Ireland. It's actually quite a beautiful city, but it's probably even more than Belfast. In what we call the Troubles, the war in Northern Ireland, there was more violence in that city
okay.
and that county than in other parts of, well, it's better now. But you still have culturally an enormous divide between Catholics and Protestants. And that's in Derry Girls, they talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And in Derry Girls, at one point, a Catholic church and a Protestant church get the kids together, they're teenagers, and they try to talk about what they have in common. But what they talk about are totally different things. And one of them, and I didn't know this, but apparently it's very much the case. Protestants keep their toaster in a cupboard.
All right.
Catholics keep it out on what we call like the countertop. How do you say the
El mostrador.
Yeah. And Protestants put it in the cupboard. And then another thing what they keep talking about, this one of them is that Catholics love ABBA and Protestants don't. Even though ABBA is a Swedish group,
mm-hmm.
they're Lutherans, but Irish people love ABBA, right? So this is from a website called Cork Bio, which means Cork Alive. 7 things to do for women's Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they actually here they say women's little Christmas instead of little women's Christmas. All right, so let me see. You can go and see an ABBA tribute band
there'll
be one playing. And people will be going crazy for this, right? Tickets are €12. There's another second tribute band, but actually, what I'm really looking for are the traditions. Mostly, it's going out and having some beers, food, enjoying yourself, and it's a good night to go out. It's a good night to go out in Cork City.
But is there anything typical to eat on that? Tomorrow,
I don't think not on that particular day.
And what about tomorrow? But the Bram, what do you call it?
Barn brack is something we only eat that at Halloween.
Halloween. Okay.
But there isn't, so they're saying like, yeah, the Gaelic term for it is Nulig Naman, which means Women's Christmas. Also known as Old Christmas, Green Christmas, Twelfth Night, which is a Shakespeare play, because there are traditionally 12 days of Christmas and it's the last day.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me see if I can find. Okay, in Scottish Highlands, the term Little Christmas is applied to New Year's Day. Yeah, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day are massive in Scotland. They call it Hogmanay,
mm-hmm.
even bigger than
Christmas.
Than Christmas, mm-hmm. yeah. It's very hard to find a lot of information about why it's Women's Christmas in Cork, but it is.
A group of women.
Yeah.
Started it and then.
Yeah. Yes. Now we'll come back to that in a while. But in the meantime, we want to talk about teaching English to kids, children, adolescents.
And teaching English. And also, it could. Actually, if you still need a last minute Reyes present for somebody, a kid, it doesn't need to be your own child. It could be somebody else's child, like your nephew or your grandson or whatever. A great gift would be one of our English courses.
Yes. Yeah, because there's still time. There's still mm-hmm. time. And again, with these courses, you might say, but I don't have enough time. It starts on Monday. No.
You can join whenever.
Yeah.
Whenever.
As we would say, anytime. Calm down. No need to panic. Only to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will accept people on the 16th of January, on the 23rd of January, on the 30th of January.
Mm-hmm.
We keep places open, both in video classes and face-to-face classes. Mm-hmm. In our junior, and we also do it in our adult.
Mm-hmm. As long as there's a place in a group that fits your kid's age or level of English, then everyone's welcome at any time.
And it's important to remember that we call them classes, but I've read a lot about the Finnish, as in from Finland, system of education, which mm-hmm. is regarded as the best in Europe. Maybe the best in the world. And one of the things that they allow is that kids, smaller kids and older kids, they allow them to do a lot of movement during the class.
Mm-hmm.
Because expecting a kid to, you know, a 5-year-old kid to go into a classroom and sit down and remain seated from 9 a.m. until, I don't know, 3 p.m.
Mm.
It's not natural for kids.
Mm.
You know, and expecting to concentrate mm-hmm. for all of that time.
That's crazy.
They have to have some physical movement, and some kids have more energy than other ones. So, one of the things I really like when the kids come here on the evenings and on the Saturdays, and especially the little ones, is that the teacher is sitting on the floor with them, lying on the floor, standing up, moving around. They bring them out into the hallway. They do games there.
They do.
And so, because if it's an evening class, the kid has been at school all day long.
Mm-hmm. And they still have two, and they stay 2 hours with us, but they love it.
They love it. The time flies.
Because they don't take it as a class. They don't think it's not an English class. It's not a subject, a school subject. It's like fun class. Some of them call it fun class.
Fun class.
Yeah.
And then something I really like to see, I don't know, I've asked people what this word is in Spanish, but I don't know if there is such a word. There's skipping.
Mm-hmm.
There are two different physical activities called skipping. One is where you have a rope, what mm-hmm. Americans call mm-hmm. jump rope, what boxers do to train their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, this was a game, when I was a kid, my sisters did this with their friends. They live with what we call a skipping rope.
Mm-hmm.
A long...
La cuerda de saltar.
With two wooden handles.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And they could swing it. And they had all these really, really elaborate games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some reason, it was specifically for girls. I don't know if that's always been the case. But another type of skipping is, it's almost like...
Skipping a step.
Yeah, maybe. Halfway between running and walking. And for example, Nacho's little girl here, Gabriela, you can tell immediately when kids like their teacher because their face lights up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say their face lights up?
Se les ilumina la cara.
Uh-huh. And I see Gabriela, for example, her classroom is maybe the 7th room
mm-hmm.
and she skips.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like, there's a word used for horses, which is halfway between. So when a horse walks, slightly faster for it than walking is trotting.
Mm-hmm. Trotar.
Mm-hmm. And then slightly faster than trotting, but not galloping. Galloping is full speed.
Mm-hmm. Galopar. Mm-hmm.
Is cantering.
Cantering.
Yeah.
Cantering.
Cantering. And so this is like, you see, like, especially girls do it, not so much boys.
That's right.
When
they're
going down the street and they're happy with something, you know, they skip. They skip. I'm not sure why was I talking about. Well, yeah, so
because
the fact that they're pleased
they skip
to see
their classes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine skipping to your work? Every morning.
Yeah. Skipping along the corridor. Yeah. So it's a sign that the child likes it. And you're thinking, well, this child has been at school all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's first thing on Saturday morning. And they've been, you know, dragged out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows the power of the teacher, which is our whole philosophy is this, that, you know, you enjoy the classes, you work, you put in a lot of effort, and you have fun. You have a lot of fun.
That's essential.
Essential. Yeah, and I remember some years ago, somebody visited this company here and he said, can you show me around the rooms?
Mm-hmm.
In the days before we did video conference. And he said, I don't think these students are enjoying themselves. I said, no, you're making the mistake. They're working hard. They're concentrating. I said, do you ever see a man running a marathon smiling and laughing? I said, no. I said, you know, but it's the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
When they finish the class, they'll say, wow, the time went by fast. And the same with kids. You can see sometimes the kids are laughing, but a lot of the time it's like their concentration is very high. Maybe they're smiling, maybe they're serious, but the time goes by quickly.
Yeah, they do a lot of different activities. So depending on the activity, they'll be doing one thing or the other. Yeah,
and so this is fun, and it's good for kids. This kind of mental and physical activity is good for. Is good for kids. Now, how does a person sign up for these classes? What do they do?
The best thing is, you can look it up on the web, on our website, www.grupobaugan.com, or you can call 911-333-5831 in Spanish. Shall I say
in Spanish? So that people can
91-133-5831. You can call this number or this other number, 91-711-99, and one of our wonderful salespeople will give you all the information about the classes we have for kids, which are not only trimestrals, what we call trimestrals, from June to September, from September to June. We also have intensive courses at Easter. The next ones are at Easter. And just call these numbers and you'll get all the information you need. Shall I repeat the numbers?
Yes.
91-133-5831 and 91-711-99. We also have video conference classes for kids, not only face-to-face, but from 4 to 17-year-olds, they can all enjoy their video conference classes. It doesn't matter where you are in the world.
In the world.
In the world.
Not just Spain, in the world. Yes.
We have daily classes with the same program as we have for face-to-face classes, but activities change a little bit. Obviously, they're also very dynamic, and they're not sitting on their seats the whole time. They get to run around and move also, because they're still kids, right? And they enjoy them. Right now, we have about 50-50 in face-to-face classes.
Okay,
and 50, half of them are... More or less, yeah. Video conference classes, half of them come to our offices.
That's interesting. Okay.
Even the little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. For little ones, it's 1 hour a day, not 2 hours in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. But it works.
It works.
Yeah. Mm. It works.
Go ahead. And for 4 to 9 year olds, I just want to say that we have Disney material. So Disney books and flashcards and videos and all this wonderful contents that they created, and we Vaughn adapted them to our method.
Yes.
So you have Disney Magic and the Vaughn method together.
Yeah. And this is something that when we're recruiting teachers, mm-hmm. and we tell them, we do a collaboration with Disney, mm-hmm. and they say, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're amazed because, of course, Disney is one of the biggest brands in the whole
world.
In the whole world.
Yeah. And kids love the characters and the...
Yeah. Did you have a favorite Disney character when you were young?
I have it now. Goofy.
Goofy.
Yeah, I'm a Goofy person.
I liked Goofy myself. Mm. Yeah. I liked
He's not as silly as he.
Yeah. Now is he Goofy in Spanish as well? Is that his name?
Goofy. Yeah.
Goofy.
Yeah.
And Pluto is the dog. I think
Pluto but Goofy's a dog too, right?
Goofy's kind of a dog where he stands up straight.
Yeah.
And then I think, is Pluto his dog?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember there's a thing where you can actually get them here. I've seen them. But this is something that was a very, you know, it's still a big part of one of those little things about growing up in Ireland that was a big part of life. Which is what we call a hot water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not a bottle. It's a rubber bag.
Mm-hmm. Flat.
Yeah, and you fill it with hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in your bed before you go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my mother and my sisters all have these, right? They're also very good if you have any kind of pain, because mm-hmm. you can wrap it in a towel. My father hated it. My father, like, hated the concept of, you know, he was, I'll get that thing away, you know, take it to my mother, get that thing away from my feet.
Why? Because he didn't think it was going to spill out?
My father had a thing of, he liked to get into a cold bed, even when it was really cold and it got warm. My mother couldn't abide that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they grew up at a time when there wasn't central heating. Mm. My parents grew up in the countryside and, you know, houses were cold.
Mm-hmm.
And the original hot water bottle was a ceramic one.
Ceramic?
Yeah. We actually have one in my house. It's in the bathroom. It's as an ornament.
Mm-hmm.
You filled it with hot water, you put it in the bed, because there was, you know, people, a lot of Spanish people think, oh, Ireland is very cold. The temperature in Spain today is much lower than in Ireland, but it's much drier.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes it feel cold in Ireland is the dampness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people had to put, they put these into their beds. And then there was another thing, which is a bit more dangerous, But I never saw, I saw one of these just as an ornament. It was a long, it was like about the size of a frying pan. How do you say a frying pan?
Sartén.
With a cover. And a long, long, long handle. And before people went to bed at night, they would go to the fireplace and they would take out the embers. I don't know how you say embers, like
Ascuas.
I never heard that before. Ascuas.
Estar en ascuas is an expression. It is to be, I don't know how to say it in English. Estar en ascuas sobre algo. To be real, you're really.
Like nervous about something?
Nervous about something, yeah.
On tenterhooks.
Because somebody is is keeping some kind of information for you.
Okay.
From you, and they'll tell you later. You're like, no me tengas en ascuas, like, don't keep me waiting. Like,
we would say on tenterhooks. On tenterhooks. I don't know what a tenterhook is, but on tenterhooks.
But yeah. You know what it is in English, a tenterhook?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I'd have to look it up during the break. And so you're on tenterhooks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Esto, lo que escuchas, es Vaughan Radio.
La verdad que ha sido una experiencia increíble, sobre todo, bueno, las personas de ceremonias, tanto Carmen como Carlota, el feedback que hemos tenido con ellas, luego el buen ambiente que hemos tenido con todos los grupos, tanto las personas anglosajonas como los compañeros españoles, y luego la inmersión y la intensidad que hemos tenido ha sido siempre de una manera constructiva.
He venido sola sin mis compañeros, lo que a priori me daba un poquillo de angustia, porque claro, vienes sola, eres un poquillo tímida, qué sé yo, pero después tú llegas aquí y la verdad que aquí toda la gente como que intenta todo el mundo de ayudarte, todo el mundo es muy amable. Además descubres eso, que hay valores como internacionales, la solidaridad, el ayudarse el uno al otro. No sé, la verdad que está siendo interesante y luego creo eso, que hemos mejorado un montón, por lo menos en mi caso, a la hora de escuchar, más que en hablar, en escuchar. Porque muchas veces eso, hay muchos acentos diferentes, el hecho de poder identificar cada uno y escuchándole está interesante.
Venga a Vaughan Town, conozca lo que el pueblo anglo de Vaughan puede hacer por su inglés en tan solo 6 días. Llámenos al 911-33-5833, 911-33-5833 y viva la experiencia Vaughan Town.
Bienvenidos a la mini clase de hoy. ¿Cómo decimos cuesta en inglés?
Slope.
Muy bien. ¿Cómo sería entonces ayer subí y bajé la cuesta 3 veces?
Yesterday I went up and down the slope 3 times.
That's it. ¿Y cuando algo te cuesta porque es complicado decimos?
It slopes.
Meh. Para expresar que algo te cuesta, lo que decimos en inglés simplemente es I find it hard. Vamos a practicarlo. Levantarme por las mañanas.
I find it hard to get up in the mornings.
Very good. Entender las películas en inglés.
I find it hard to understand the films in English.
To understand the film in English.
To understand the film in English.
Very good. Aprender inglés.
I find it hard to learn English.
To learn English, very good.
¿Y a ti? ¿Se te hace cuesta arriba el inglés? Este año te ayudamos a subir la cuesta del inglés con nuestros cursos trimestrales. Clases 100% método Vaughan para todos los niveles que te darán el empujón que necesitas para vencer todas tus dificultades con el idioma. Más información en el 911-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Escúchanos en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar. Descarga la app de Vaughan Radio.
Aprender a comunicarse en inglés para lograr afrontar situaciones en inglés tanto en el terreno personal como en el profesional, a adquirir un dominio privilegiado del idioma que le permita completar su desarrollo profesional, hay un producto que le garantice todo esto.
Al entrar en el mercado laboral, lo único que cuenta es ser más atractivo que otros candidatos, gozar de mayor estimación. Y el aspecto que más impacta a una empresa cuando mira un candidato joven es su nivel de inglés. Si es muy alto, es contratado. Si no lo es, pues no. Aunque sea el número uno en su promoción, nuestro MIP, nuestro Máster en Inglés Profesional, resuelve este tema para el candidato.
Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Infórmese en el 911-333-5833. 911-333-5833.
Apúntate a nuestros cursos trimestrales. En solo 3 meses perfeccionarás tu inglés. Cursos trimestrales de Vaughan. Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Descubre. Aprende. Esto es Vaughan Radio.
To No Excuses, and I'm here with my colleague Helen, as we call you, or Orujo. I don't think I've ever met another person whose surname is it's Araujo.
Is Araujo, it? Yeah.
Is it from Extremadura? Because that's where your family's from, right?
It is. They are, but it's Portuguese.
Ah, it's Portuguese.
It would be pronounced Araujo, actually.
Araujo.
There are loads of Araujos in Brazil.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Extremadura is right by.
Of course.
Portugal,
so. Because the immediate province, the Portuguese province to the west of Extremadura is also Extremadura, I think.
I don't know.
I think.
You see, it's funny how we're neighbours.
I noticed this.
Spanish
people know very little about Portugal. And, for example, as you know, I like alcohol, right? Like Irish people. British people and Irish people, especially at Christmas time, it's very common to drink port.
Mm-hmm.
Which is I love it, but it's very hard to find it in Spain. And people come here and they're like, "Oh, I think I'll have a port." And I said, "Good luck finding a good port in a Spanish bar because they don't drink it.
Not in bars. No. Maybe in the old days. But when do you drink it? Before your meals or after your meals? Or
it's usually after meals, and it's very much associated with Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also like to drink hot alcohol, everything hot port.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you have an upset stomach, port and brandy can
fix you.
Yeah, it'll fix you. Or, well, it'll make you feel better in some way or another. But it's an interesting thing. And of course, there are a lot of, Portugal has a lot of cultural ties, especially with Britain, you know, for historical reasons.
Yeah. Also, Portugal.
I think because it comes from Porto. From the city of Porto or Oporto, as it's sometimes as it's called.
Mm.
But that's a funny thing. Even though you say it's next door. Now, here's another thing that I remember. One of these little tiny cultural details that fascinated me. Teaching classes, and I had a group of very, very nice ladies at Electrolux.
Mm-hmm.
Or as you would say, Electrolux. And I would teach them, I think it was in the afternoons every Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it was down by Melinda Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I asked a question one day about you know, the questions we ask. There's a lot of geography in what we do, you know. And I asked something about Portugal. And one of them said, I went to Portugal last week to buy towels.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, how did you go? She said, we drove. You said, you drove from Madrid? Yeah, we drove from Madrid to Lisbon, I think. I said, but why? Because I had never heard of this. She said, no, it's very common. You go to Portugal to buy towels. Now, someone told me it's not quite as common as it used to be back then.
That's right. But it used to be a big thing.
And did your family go to...
Yeah.
Because I guess for you it was a short journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What part of Extremadura do your parents... Where do they live?
They live in a small town called, excuse me, Medina de las Torres. The closest big city, thank you, is Zafra.
Zafra.
And it's famous for Feria del Ganado.
Yes.
That's in October.
And so if you drove from Zafra to the Portuguese border?
About an hour.
An hour.
Mm.
Okay.
Maybe a little less.
But I remember thinking, I said, oh, you drove all the way to... She said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she said, you buy enough towels, so you fill the car with towels. Yeah. And she said, maybe you spend a night...
You can never have enough Portuguese towels.
So it's funny how they have that...
Because of the cotton and the el rizo, the curl, not the curl, but the, you know how towels, if you look...
There's a specific name
for
this
in English. If you close up...
Yeah.
If you look close up, they're like loops, little loops.
Yeah, there's a specific name in English for this, which indicates the quality of the towel. Wow, I'm looking up here vocabulary of towels.
Very specific.
Yeah. It's like it's something beginning with D, I think. Hang on a second. Towels.
El rizo de la toalla.
Yeah. I can't remember what it, but it's like the den, something like that.
Something to do with denim, but denim is, because it's cotton after all.
It is cotton, yeah. The denier, something like that, yeah. Because it is, as you say, it's cotton. Yeah.
I think the bigger the better. I think, but I don't know if they're too soft, it doesn't really do the job.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
It should be a little bit.
If it's too soft, it doesn't dry. It has to have a little bit of hardness. Mm. But I can't remember the name of this. I can't remember what this word was. But anyway, it's one of those things you maybe use once every ten years. Yeah. Mm. I'm not sure why we started talking about
Portugal.
another tangent. Mm. But anyway, so we were talking
about drinking port in Christmas. Traditions, Christmas traditions.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, we have, you know, as all countries, we have a lot of traditions. You have the tradition here of, as we said, of Reyes, which is very exciting for kids. Now, one thing that I feel sorry for Spanish kids about is that they get the present from the Reyes mm-hmm. tomorrow and then they go back to school on Monday. So they have no time to play with them.
Mm, yeah.
With their toys.
That's, yeah. But otherwise it'd be too long. I remember, Reyes days when I used to break the toys on that same day, so there's nothing else to play with.
And then you have the tradition of the carbón.
Oh yeah, that's not nice.
Yeah. So you have, which is a sweet.
It's sugar.
It's sugar.
I don't know how they make it.
Were you threatened as a child? I noticed I noticed with my sisters now, and I think this is a common thing. There's much less threatening of kids with bad things. I remember my father's cousin. He was a man I loved very dearly. He was a farmer, big man. And we would go to the houses. And like my parents, their friends, their cousins, they all collaborated in bringing us up. So mm-hmm. there's an expression in English, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. An expression I really like. So I think it was something that at the time as kids, you know, they were good at terrifying us. I know this, of course, is completely racist. You couldn't say it anymore. But back in Ireland in the 70s, everybody was white, everybody was Irish, everybody was from the same tradition, mm-hmm. more or less.
Like here.
And, you know, if you saw a black person mm-hmm. walking down the street, it was like, oh my God. Whereas now, you know,
something exotic.
It's exotic. So my father's cousin, like I said, he was a big man, he was a farmer, and that was the farm where my grandmother grew up, my father's mother. And we would go there, and if we weren't behaving ourselves, he would say to us, if you don't behave yourself, a big black man is going to come along with a big black bag and take you away. Basically, it was threatening you with being kidnapped.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my God. Now I think you can't do that with kids, you know, but it made us behave. You know, people mm-hmm. said like, no, that's, you shouldn't do that. But it, you know, it worked. Mm-hmm. And we were told, you know, if you don't behave yourself coming up to Christmas, you know, Santa's watching you, you know, you better watch out. You better not cry. Mm-hmm. You know, you better not pout.
Mm-hmm.
Pout.
Hacer pucheros.
Pucheros.
Hacer un puchero.
Mm. You better not cry, because basically Santa Claus is watching you. Mm. And my grandparents, hey, behave yourself, because if you don't, you'll get a sack of coal for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Which would be handy if you want to barbecue.
Parents, maybe as a child, you're like, okay, yeah, I get to, you know, put something in the fire. But here was the threat something similar?
Yeah, carbón, yeah.
You would get no gifts. You get that the three kings would give you carbón. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Christian tradition, the three kings brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Gold and what?
Frankincense is
oh, frankincense,
which is similar to incense. How do you say incense?
Incienso.
Incienso.
Yeah.
And then myrrh, which is a very strange word in English because it has no vowels. MYRRH, mm-hmm. which is a type of sacred ointment.
Myrrh.
Okay. And I can't remember which king brought these precious gifts. Can you remember?
Melchor.
Yeah.
Gold. It's in the same order. Gaspar, incense, frankincense, and Baltasar. Mayor.
Really? Well done. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Mm. Now, so was it the case when you were a kid that one specific king was given the job of bringing carbón or bringing coal?
Not that your own. I guess your own.
The one, your own favorite one.
Mm.
And I guess. Does every Spanish person have, or most people have a favorite, have a favorite one?
Mm-hmm. Or I think, yeah, that was a thing.
Like you're mm-hmm. so you. How many sisters and brothers do you have?
Five.
Can you remember what their favorites were?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I didn't ask. Yeah. yeah, but it was a thing. Yeah, I can't remember.
Nacho, who's your favorite king? Your favorite of the three kings?
Baltasar.
Okay.
You see, he didn't need to think about it.
Yeah, just as an immediate thing. Yeah. It's a very interesting. It's a very interesting concept that it's such a big thing here. I mean, it was a fairly big thing because, you know, when I was growing up, I come from a very Catholic family. Ireland was very Catholic. Mm. So you did go to church or mass on the 6th and you had the kings. And then, of course, it was associated with the Cork mm-hmm. women's Christmas as well.
And did you go to mass?
We went to mass all the time. yeah.
an excuse. Midnight before, on Christmas Eve?
Yes, which has changed
now. La Misa
now.
Del Gallo. It used to be, we call it La Misa del Gallo.
El Gallo.
Yeah, maybe because it's an early, like really.
Ah,
maybe.
Okay.
But it's changed. Yeah, they don't do it so late.
There was genuinely, it used to be at midnight on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And they changed it because of what we'd call rowdyism. Because people would go out into the pubs, get drunk, and go to the church. And they were not respecting the occasion. Mm. So now very few places have a real midnight mass. And if they do, they probably have someone outside, like stopping people going in. But when I was a kid, I remember...
A bouncer.
So they started doing it at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock and things like that before things got too crazy. But it's actually, I really liked it when I was a kid. My father had, there's a seminary in, it's now closed, in Cork City called Farran Ferris. And a friend of his was a school also, a seminary mm-hmm. for priests, and they did a beautiful midnight mass. Mm-hmm. And they had a beautiful choir with a boy soprano. We're going to hear a bit of, I almost forgot. We're going to hear a tune right now, which is We Three, it's Old English. So the order of the words is strange. We Three Kings of Orient mm-hmm. are. All right. And you would go to midnight mass, and one of them would always sing O Holy Night, which is maybe one of the most beautiful, Christmas carols, Biencico, which is one of those words. I remember being very proud when I finally remembered how to say Biencico, a word you use once a year, right? So we're going to hear a bit of this right now. It's from the King's College Choir from Cambridge in England. We Three Kings of Orient are. Take it away, Nacho.
Thank you.
Christmas carol, villancico. Interesting word in Spanish for me.
Villancico.
Villancico. Yeah.
It's a cute word, villancico.
Yeah. I remember Natasha and Marta, it took them probably about a year to get me to remember it. Because it isn't a word you use every day.
Yeah. So.
But as of course, this is one of those things when you're learning another language and you finally master a word and someone says, oh, I don't want, how do you say Christmas carol? And I say, villancico. And you feel great pride. It's like, yes. Like a child. I remember another one was, because I'd never seen one of these until I came to Spain. A great way of learning vocabulary was, I love the Spanish fruit and vegetable shops. How do you say that?
Fruterías.
Yeah.
Verdulerías.
Yeah, I love those. The presentation of the variety. Mm. And I saw this thing and I was thinking, what the hell is that? And then you see the label. So, of course, you learn the words. Mm-hmm. And I saw chirimoya.
Oh, yeah.
And so I bought one and I cut it open and I started eating it. And I was thinking, oh my God. So there's a word in English which is custard apple.
Custard apple.
Custard is basically natillas. Mm-hmm. So a manzana de natillas. Mm. And I think, wow, I haven't eaten one for a long time, but I really like them. And then another one that amazed
me
was...
But do you find chirimoyas in Ireland? Well, I guess nowadays you find them.
Now you'd find them, but they'd probably be expensive. But I mean, I'd never seen one. And then another word that amazed me was, of course, you learned the word pollo, which you have to be very careful of using. And then I remember seeing repollo. And I was thinking, what? Like re-chicken? Re-chicken? And then you see that it's actually a type of cabbage, which is very interesting. But during the break, we were talking about other Christmas traditions. Mm. And you had the one, what did you call it? Aguinaldo?
Aguinaldo.
Aguinaldo.
Aguinaldo. Yeah, pedir el aguinaldo.
Mm. Okay. Which is going from door to door?
Going from door to door, singing Christmas carol.
Did you do it when you were a kid?
I did, yeah.
Really?
I ended up with a big bag of pesetas.
Okay, so you got some money.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was fun.
And then we have an interesting tradition in Ireland which has survived and it's now flourishing again in certain places, but it almost died out. Again, an interesting thing about Irish Catholicism is that there is an early Celtic Christian church in Ireland, and of course we had paganism, you know, like everywhere. So we have a lot of traditions that are effectively pagan. I'm sure women's Christmas is some
pagan.
Because an interesting thing about Irish tradition, pre-British occupation, was we had several very, very, way, you know, pre-Christian, very powerful female queens of Ireland. Mm-hmm. At least two of them. One was Queen Aud, who there's a theory that she helped to populate Iceland, because Iceland geographically is not terribly far from Ireland. Mm-hmm. And you had Queen Maeve, which is very common. You'll meet a lot of, I've got a niece called Maeve, who was a pirate queen. And another one called...
A pirate queen.
Queen, yeah.
A pirate queen.
She was a queen and a pirate. Mm-hmm. So the you know, you meet Irish women and, like, Irish women don't take any prisoners, right? Mm-hmm. They're tough people. And there's that great tradition. So I'm sure that Women's Christmas is something to do with that. But there was a tradition on St. Stephen's Day, the 26th, which here you call St. Esteban, who was the first Christian martyr. And it's the Wren boys. Now, a wren, we said, is Rhea Thuelo, right? Uh-huh. Which is this one of the smallest common birds, a tiny, very round, brown bird that can actually climb walls. And for some reason, the wren was associated, even though there's a kind of a pagan and Christian tradition here, the wren was supposed to have betrayed Christ. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, apparently, this is not in the Bible, but it's a story, that the wren somehow told, like, allowed the Romans to know exactly where he was when they arrested him. And so the wren was seen as being kind of a symbol of a traitor, right? Mm. And then the red breast, which in Spain you call the robin redbreast, which you call?
Petirrojo.
Petirrojo, was loyal to Christ. And the story was that he got his red breast from being under the cross as Christ was dying and his blood fell onto him. So the red breast is a very, especially in Ireland and Britain, is maybe everyone's favourite bird.
Mm-hmm. And with blue eggs.
With blue eggs, that's right. With weird. Blue eggs. And when I was at home at Christmas, I was in the garden because my mother had a problem with the washing machine. I was trying to fix it. And they're very violent birds.
What, robins?
Yeah, they kill each other.
Oh, okay.
They don't last long because they kill each other. They're very territorial and they're very vicious. Mm-hmm. But I'd never seen this in my whole life. Three of them were together, perched. How do you say perched for a bird?
Posados.
And looking at me and not attacking each other. So I don't know, they must have been related, or I don't know. Yeah. And looking at me because they're very, they like to be around humans. Mm-hmm. And they like to watch us because they have to feed from the ground. So I think they typically find if there's a human around, I'm going to get some food. So they're probably thinking, this guy's going to give us some food.
So they don't attack humans.
No. Mm. No, they're very tame with humans. And if you sit long enough in a garden, I've done this, mm-hmm. and you put food in your hand, like some corn, mm-hmm. and you don't move, they'll eventually perch in your hand and they'll eat it.
Nice.
Without too much, I've done this. It's they're an amazing bird. Mm-hmm. So the wren boys were typically young men. My father's friends and he did this, and it was more common in the countryside than in the city. Mm-hmm. And because the wren betrayed Christ, they would go out and they would hunt, and they would bring a net. Mm-hmm. They would catch a wren and they would kill it, which of course is very, very cruel. And then they would put the wren on a stick, and they would dress up in these straw costumes and paint their faces, and they would play music, and they would knock on the door of houses and they would collect money. Now, not for charity, no. to drink it. Right. And one of the best towns in the whole of Ireland is a lovely little town in the southwest of Ireland, right on the Atlantic coast, called Dingle. Mm-hmm. Beautiful town, great place. It's one of the places where you will hear most Gaelic or Irish spoken in all of Ireland. And there's a great musical tradition there. And the people from there are great. They're great people. Mm. They're great people. And so if you go there on St. Stephen's Day, there's a massive parade on the streets. Mm-hmm. Streets are full of people because it's also the pubs in Ireland close on Christmas Day. So when St. Stephen's Day comes, Irish people go bananas and they go back to, so they have this thing, and it starts off in the morning and it goes on all day, and they go to the houses and they collect money. And like I said, they play music.
And Christmas songs?
Christmas songs. Mm. Yeah.
And the straw costumes.
Yeah.
It's
a thing called the straw boys. And I'm not sure where it comes from. It's specific to the southwest of Ireland. Again, all of these are pagan traditions. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're talking about all of this is, in our classes, we don't just teach English, but we teach the culture of the country, especially where the teacher comes from. We also teach, we're speaking about Portugal. Maybe this is why I was talking about Portugal. Mm-hmm. We teach Brazilian Portuguese. And yesterday we had one of the things that I really like to see, a very, very senior person in one of the most famous and successful Spanish companies. I don't want to say the name. Mm-hmm. Iberdrola. Who said that? And he had a Brazilian teacher of ours, a great, great guy called Emerson, a top class human being. And he said, we're coming back to Vaughan, but I want Emerson. So I said, Emerson, this man wants you back. He said, yep, I'm in business. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about Emerson was that he would teach the culture, like the social and business culture of Brazil. So when you go to a meeting, you know, how to conduct yourself at a meeting with Brazilians.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And for me, this is something I like to tell my students. I said, okay, you know, if you go to a business meeting in Ireland or Britain or the United States, the business culture is the personal culture of those countries is very different. The business culture is similar. Mm-hmm. And I always like to tell them, you know, these are the things that you should do. These are the things you shouldn't do. And of course, they were grateful because they said, oh, you know, can I say this? And I said, here's a nicer way of saying it. Mm-hmm. You know, things like punctuality, for example, really important. You know, they're like, well, do you shake hands? Yeah. I said, yeah, of course you shake hands. And, you know, and differences between meetings which is interesting, meetings in English speaking countries, business meetings and meetings here. Here they last much longer, I notice, right? And you know, the tone of how people speak and mm-hmm. you know, how aggression is pretty much swearing, for example, is not seen, you know.
It's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah.
You go out for a few drinks afterwards, you can swear all you like. Mm-hmm. But in the business meeting, you don't. So in our classes with kids that we were talking about, mm-hmm. the teachers teach them, you know, little tiny elements of the culture of, you know, the United States and Ireland. And
absolutely.
London and, yeah. and Scotland and Wales and Australia and New Zealand. Yeah. And this is an important thing for, you know, as the child grows up, that maybe, and I see this is happening more and more, the Spanish people are now finally going to live abroad. Mm-hmm. In Ireland, I see it every time I go, I see more Spanish people, you know, and I think I really like it because, you know, I'm sure they suffer with the weather, but they make more money and they learn English and they also get the advantage of living in another country. So our classes, yeah. our junior classes, feature this. Now, one last time, what number should they call to sign up for classes?
Ajá, 91-133-5831. or 91 700 1199.
And if you do it today, you have a Ray's present for your loved one.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much, Helen. It was always a pleasure having you
on
the program.
Thank you.
Happy Ray's. Happy Three Kings. Have a great day. Stay tuned for Roberto Alonso. And see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Que este nuevo año sea por fin el año en que solucionaste tu problema con el inglés. Infórmate de nuestras promociones exclusivas en cursos trimestrales, masters, Disney Vaughan, cursos online, pruebas de nivel. Toda la información en nuestra web grupovaughan.com. O si lo prefieres, llámanos al 91 133 5833. Repito, 91 133 5833. Este nuevo año, deja de estudiar inglés y aprende inglés.
Many English methods guarantee that you can learn English with 20 minutes a day. Don't believe them. The only guarantee in these cases is that your money will be in their pocket.
¿Estás pensando en apuntar a tus hijos a clases de inglés? Seguro que cuando se lo dices piensan...
¡Madre mía, clases! ¡Qué rollo!
¡Que no, que en el club!